Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with a total commitment to the Lord as we pick up in Luke chapter 18, verse 7. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Oh, that we would understand how much the Father loves us. Oh, that we would trust His wisdom in His dealing in our lives. Oh, that we could come to that place of total commitment of ourselves to Him. Lord, You do what You want for me. Lord, I rest in You. I'm not making any demands on God. I'm not trying to command God. I'm not trying to sit on the throne and be sovereign myself. I'm not trying to get my will done on this earth. That's not why I'm here. And that's not the purpose of prayer. It's to work in harmony with God to get His program accomplished on this earth. It's to link together with God and join with Him in His great program of reaching this world with the love of Jesus Christ. God, Your will be done. Your purposes be accomplished. Use me as ever You see fit as Your instrument, Lord, to do Your work. Here I am. I'm available to You. And whatever You want, Lord, for my life. Whatever You want to do in me, whatever You want to do through me, Lord, I'm available. Here I am. Your will be done. Commitment. Now, I don't always understand the difficulties that I am going through. I don't always understand my trials. There are times when I cry out of my distress. And yet, there is always that understood relationship that I have with God. That even though I don't understand, Lord, Your particular working in my life at this moment, You just keep on working. Like my wife says, if I scream and yell and holler, don't let me have another bite of chocolate. And that's pretty much, Lord, if I scream and yell and holler, don't do anything contrary to Your will. I don't care how much I scream, how much I holler. Lord, Your will be done in my life. That's supreme. That's paramount. So Jesus is not saying that God is like this unjust judge. He's saying He's totally unlike the unjust judge. But He's illustrating by contrast, if a man who is so hardened, so calloused, so crooked, that he has no regard for God or man, if he can be persuaded by the persistency of the little widow, shall not God avenge His children speedily? Yes, He said, I say He will. But then Jesus asked an interesting question. He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? We are told in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, one of the signs of the end of the age would be the iniquity in the earth abounding, causing the love of many to wax cold. That goes along with this question. I believe that we are living in the hardest period of history to live a consistent, consecrated Christian life. I don't believe that ever in history has there been more temptation placed so freely before men. Through the media, through the movies, through television, through magazines, we have been overexposed to sexual enticements. That area has been stimulated and aroused. And at the same time, there has been a deteriorating of the moral standards, a broad acceptance of relationships in the society in which we live. And I do not believe that ever in the history of man has there been such a broad exposure and a more difficult time to really live a truly committed life to Jesus Christ. And because the iniquity in the world is abounding, the love of many is waxing cold. And the question then that Jesus asked becomes very significant. When I return, or when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? True, genuine faith. And trust in his word. And he spake this parable unto certain of those which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on others. These are those people, and you've met them, that look down on they are so critical of everyone else. They are like Job said to his comforter, surely you are the people and wisdom is going to die with you. People who are self-righteous, they feel no need of any help in that area. And they are critical, condemning, and look down on everybody else. It's interesting that Luke begins to explain to us the direction that the parables are taking. So this parable is to those who trust in themselves that they are righteous and despised others. And there were two men who went up into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee and the other was a hated publican. The word publican became synonymous with sinner. Of the rankest sort, the tax collector, the crookedest man in town. So the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as that publican over there. For I fast twice every week. I give tithes of everything that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but he smote on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man, that is the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I find it very difficult to not assume this pharisaical attitude when I look at our church. I am very prone to say, Lord, I thank you that our church isn't as other churches. We don't beg and dun the people for money, you know, and just tell how wonderful we are. Because really, in my heart, I thank God that we're not like a lot of other churches. I mean, that's just plain honest. And I think we are better. So I have a problem with this parable. Yet, I realize my own need of God's mercy. It's not my righteousness. It's not by the works of righteousness that I have done. I don't ever come to God and say, now, Lord, look what I've been doing for you. Look at the hours that I've put in this week. Look at, you know, the sacrifices that I have made. Jesus talked to us about that last week, didn't he? When the servant comes in, the master doesn't say, sit down and eat. You know, he says, go fix me my meal. And then after I've eaten, you can eat. And after you've done all these things, just say, I'm an unprofitable servant. So I never try to tell the Lord what I have done, nor come to the Lord on the basis of my commitment or what I have done, because that is a trap. It may bring me confidence at sometimes to come to God, but then most of the time I feel no sense going to God. I haven't done anything, or what I've done is negative. So I always come to God on the basis of his grace and his mercy towards me. Whenever I come to God, it is always seeking his mercy. You see, justice is getting what you deserve. I never come to God and say, justice, God, I want justice. I'm afraid I might get it. I come and I say, mercy, Lord, mercy. God, be merciful. For mercy is not getting what I deserve. But then I say, oh, God, grace, because that's getting what I don't deserve. So you see the fine difference between the three. Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what's coming to you. And grace is getting what's not coming to you. God just giving to you on the basis of his love and grace towards you. You don't deserve it, but he'll do it anyhow. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. They brought into him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him, and he said, allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in. I love to observe children. There is a beauty. There's something almost sacred and divine surrounding that little child. There's just such a purity. Sitting today at the table with some of my grandchildren, listening to them talk about the Lord, listening to them offer their prayers to God for the food and for, you know, every other item that they could think of while they were praying for the food. In fact, one even forgot the food. But their beauty and the simplicity of their opening up their hearts to God, it's just glorious. I love children. And there seems to be within a child a very keen sense of discernment. If I see a person that children shy away from and won't go to, I become suspicious of that person. Same with a dog. If I see a person, the dogs are, you know, crowd, they won't go. I get suspicion. They seem to have a good sense of judgment. And Jesus said, unless you receive the kingdom as God as a little child, you're not going to enter therein. But Jesus was always interested in the children. Mark tells us that when the disciples were keeping the people away from him, bringing their children to him, and when Jesus saw what they're doing, he was angry. He was upset. He rebuked his disciples. He was really upset with them. Let those little children come to me. Don't forbid them. And he took them into his arms and he blessed them. Now there was a certain ruler, and they asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? There is none good except one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all of these I've kept from my youth up. And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet you lack one thing. Sell all that you have, distribute unto the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw how that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, again, let's not misunderstand Jesus. For when this young ruler came and kneeled at him and said, good master, what shall I do to inherit this age-abiding life? He's talking about a quality of life, not the quantity. That quality that he observed in Jesus, there's something eternal about the way this man lived. His life crossed the dimensions of time. They stretched into the eternal. What must I do that I might have this age abiding, this quality of life that you possess? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? None is good except one, and that is God. Now, do not jump to the conclusion that Jesus is saying, I am not God. For I think a careful observation, you'll discover he's saying just the opposite. You see, he is saying one of two things. He is saying, I am no good, or he is saying, I am God. So the question, why do you call me good, is to arouse and to elevate the conscious level of this fellow's mind. Look, you've called me good. Why did you call me good? You're looking for age-abiding life. Now you've called me good. Why is it that you call me good? You see, there's only one that is good, and that is God. Why did you call me good? Because what you see in me, this quality that you are attracted to, this quality that you have discerned, is that I am God. You remember when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And as much he is saying to this young fellow, look, you've had a divine revelation. Why did you call me good? There's only one good, and that is God. Oh, that's right. Could you? Ooh, you see. So he's trying to draw out now. Hey, you're coming along, getting warm. Warmer, warmer, you know. I mean, pulling him in, letting him really expand this awareness. Then Jesus flashes across him the six commandments in the first table or the second table of stone. Those commandments that deal with man's relationship with his fellow man, which constitutes righteousness. And as Jesus flashed across him the second table of the law, thou shalt not kill, commit adultery, bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, don't steal. He said, I've kept all of these from my youth up. Mark tells us that he asked the question, what lack I yet? And Jesus, when he heard these things, said unto him, you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and distribute to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Now, again, don't misread this. Is Jesus saying that his lack was poverty? No, because we could all get in easily then. Go back. Why do you call me good? There's only one good, that is God. Now Jesus said, go And let's leave out what he said at that point. Just go. And then he said, come, follow me. Now, the essential word of Christ to this young man is, come, follow me. You see, your problem is God is not at the center of your life. You have another focal point upon which your life is revolving. In his case, it was money, his riches. His life was revolving around his riches. His riches were at the center of his life. And Jesus touched the thing that was at the heart of his life. And he says, you've got the wrong God. Follow me. Get rid of that false God. Follow me. If you want to be perfect, get rid of those idols. Get rid of those things that are standing in the way. Those things that are keeping you from total commitment. Follow me. Put me at the center of your life. And so the word of Christ would be the same to you tonight.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Luke on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Luke 18 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and keep you in His love and grace. And may you be filled with His Spirit and walk in the strength and in the power of the Spirit of God as He anoints you day by day. May you be enabled by Him, and may you enter into that fullness that He has for you, walking with the Lord, loving the Lord, listening to the Lord, alert unto the Lord in these last days when the world around you is walking in its drunken stupor. May your mind and heart be clear, sensitive to God and to the things of the Spirit. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
As Easter is approaching, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is on the hearts of Christians everywhere and how they might witness this beautiful story to their loved ones. With this in mind, The Word for Today would like to present a special MP3 entitled My Redeemer Lives that includes 14 reassuring messages to answer the significance of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and a life that should bring hope to everyone. Also included is a special presentation of the crucifixion from a doctor's perspective, as well as a powerful salvation message shared by Pastor Chuck. And when you order My Redeemer Lives MP3, we'll include a free CD by Pastor Chuck to witness to your loved ones that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. This CD, entitled A Risen Love, clearly presents the evidence to help others make a decision that will impact their immediate and eternal future. For more information, contact The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.